Then I've got this lesson today. I hope that you, it means the same to you as it means to me. You might be turning to Mark 4, beginning at verse 35, and I'll read that in just a minute. It was in the final paragraph of Mark chapter 4 that we enter into a story of life of Christ, just after he had presented a series of parables concerning the kingdom of heaven, and just before he performed four significant miracles. And these miracles, he demonstrated Christ's power over four different areas, one of them being over nature, one over demons, one over disease, and another one over death. So in this lesson, we'll discuss more about his power over nature than any of the others. So let's read Mark 4, beginning at verse 35. And on that day, when evening is come, he said unto them, let us go over to the other side. And leaving the multitude, they take him with them, and even as he was in the boat, and the other boats were with him. And there arise a great storm of wind, and the waves beat the boat, insomuch that the boat was now filling, and he himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awake him, and said to him, teacher, carest not that we perish? And he awoke and rebuked the winds, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you fearful? Have you not yet faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, Who then is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? So, the opening sentence indicates that Christ had spent probably the whole day teaching the multitudes. In verse 36, it tells this. Then when evening came, he wished to depart the area of Capernaum and go to the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, which would be quiet. You know, Christ is a lot like us. He needs some time for rest and for peace and quiet. But notice the expression in verse 35, let us go. Let us go. Christ is often saying, let us go. Something that you and I need to be doing all the time instead of just sitting at home. And he seemed to be, I guess you'd use the word restless, about going about his Father's business. Over and over again, if you study the New Testament, you'll find Christ saying, let us go. He wasn't for one that's sitting at home. Of course, he didn't have TV and radio then, but he was about his Father's business. You know, we as Christians must also go. Sometimes we go over to the other side of the street, or maybe sometimes we go over to the other side of the ocean. Sometimes we just need to go to a neighbor. All of us have neighbors and friends that we need to discuss the Bible with. Sometimes they won't let us, but we've got to try. That's our job. It could even mean more than that, and we found this last week. You know, we as human beings have special needs, and so do other people. There's people that are sick, in poverty, and calamity. I wrote the word in after when I was working on this because of the hurricanes or the tornadoes. And I thank the women and the East Newton school kids and the ones from El Dorado Springs and all the adults even that helped and got this together to help the people in the tornadoes. That is our job. Our talk text also mentions the word multitudes. You know, Christ could gather a crowd anywhere he went and about any time. You read in the Bible over and over that the common people heard him gladly. And even those in higher rank, so to speak, I think the Bible says higher station in life. But anyway, they often came even long distance just to hear him and also to watch his miracles. And it was easy for him to draw a crowd. But Christ, when he was here on earth, was human. At times he had to get away from the multitude so he could get some rest and to pray. And they, both of those are given in the Bible, where he went, he left the multitude for those two reasons. We read in the text that there arises a great storm of wind. If you read anything about the Sea of Galilee, you know that it's between 650 and 700 feet below sea level, and there's mountains on three sides of it. So, due to this unusual situation, it's especially subject to quick and violent storms. And it was probably this type of storm that we're talking about in this lesson today that suddenly plunged the Sea of Galilee into a raging torrent, insomuch that the boat was starting to fill with water. Our text tells us that he himself was in the stern asleep on a cushion. Of course, in a small boat, probably a fishing boat or something like this, that's about the only place that you can lay down in the stern of the boat. He had a cushion for his head and to get some rest. Of course, we read the story, we can see Christ's great confidence. We can see his sincerity. While the others were distressed whenever the storm started coming around, Christ was asleep. Mark repeatedly presents Christ his teaching and especially demonstrating his trust in God. This is just one of these occasions which he was putting his trust in God's. And when Jesus was awakened by the apostles, he addressed the storm and said, "Peace, be still." Verse 39. The Bible tells us that the winds and the waves obeyed his command, and soon the wake was calm and safe again. Best I can find, and I looked in Smith's Bible Dictionary, that this is the first miracle that Christ ever did over nature. And we see that even nature obeyed his command. So when we study about the apostle being so astonished, this is the reason, because they didn't understand that he can calm the nature, he can do something with nature. You know, just like the Sea of Galilee, which in this case churned with great storms, you and I, in our lives, are at times at least also churned up with great storms, sometimes just little tidbits, so to speak, but sometimes the storms get pretty great. Our lives just somehow get all churned up. These can be with children, young people, adults, and old people, everyone. Especially after you, man and wife, starts having children. Seems like the storms come pretty often. But anyway, I'm not trying to make something out of it what's not. I think we're all familiar with that. But we all know that storms can be physical. We pray it's not with a husband and wife. And they can be emotional. We all can be very emotional sometimes when we get all upset. It can be financial. Sometimes our lives is all messed up because of something went wrong. We forgot about this credit card or something. The gas price has gone up or something. It can be moral. That devil just looking for a reason to get us out of shape. It can be ethical, and yes, it can even be religious. It hurts me to see people who were once religious turn away. It hurts hard. And I'm sure all of us know people like that. In all of these areas, I want you to remember this. Christ can bring peace and calm in our lives if we just let Him. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul indicated his own inner peace when that comes through his relationship with Christ. When he said, "I have learned in whatever state I am therein to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to be abound. Therein in all things have I learned the secret both to be filled and to be in hunger, both in bound and in want. I can do all things in Him who strengthened me." What I just said a minute ago. I can do all things in Him who strengthened me. We're also reminded of a famous statement we read in the Old Testament. The three Hebrew children, as mentioned in Daniel 3:17, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you can, you get that story from childhood on up. The three Hebrew children were thrown in a fiery furnace. They believed in God. They said in Daniel 3:17, "Our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace." And He did. You know, we too believe that our God is able to calm whatever storm comes along. And our lives are full of stress, many of us anyway. I'm not going to say everybody here because I don't know everybody that well, but I know me. And we all have stress. Sometimes it hurts so bad you can't hardly stand it. And other times you get over it in a hurry. But sometimes it lasts for quite some time. We all have stress. But we've got to do what the children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we've got to believe in God that He's able to deliver. I know that we will not understand everything that goes on now, but someday we will. We also read when Jesus turned to His disciples and said, "Why are you fearful?" In His Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Not in this life more than the food, or is not this life more than food and the body more than raiment? But seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:25 and then down on verse 33. And very similar words and found in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. And this says, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God which perishes all understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus." You know, there's in this age that we live in, sometimes called the mechanical age, there's all kinds of inventions. Do you know of any invention that will invent peace and calm? Just a machine that will invent peace and calm? No. Only in our Lord can we find the inner peace that we so desire in this world today. I think most of you are like me. I just go to the bedroom, shut the door, and I get peace and calm, pray to the Lord. And it helps. And my wife does the same thing. She just, when she's in her room, I can hear her pray. Because most of the time she prays out loud. And I don't usually pray out loud, but I do pray every day. One thing I pray for Brother Rue and all the others that are sick and all of those that should be here today and are not. Because sometime soon they will be in eternal judgment. We've got to answer to the Lord for that, what we're doing with our lives. And only in the Lord can you and I find peace and quiet that we so desire in this world today. We need to also remember the words of Paul in Romans 8:29. And we know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to the purpose. Our text closes with the disciples in the boat ask, "Who then is this?" So far as the disciples are concerned, the point of great emphasis of this miracle is not necessarily the teachings and sayings of Jesus, or even the great faith and courage that he's showing them, or the dangers that they're in. Probably not even the miracle itself, but Christ's power in making the sea calm. As I said before, this is the first time they had seen him have power over nature. Now, surely one who can calm the sea must be divine Son of God and must be able to care for all those who are in his life. Today, we see all these meanings. It's impossible to, with the calm confidence of our Lord presiding over everything, that we turn to him, because the Lord has the power over nature and over to calm the storm and seas. As I said before, he has the power to calm the storm in our lives. And all of us do have storms. We may not want to admit it, but we do. Some of them are a lot more serious than others. Sometimes they're just little spats. Sometimes they're out and out fights, so to speak. You know, Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, and let us receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need." And there's very little time that we don't have that we need Christ. In fact, I'd go so far as to say we need him every moment of our life. We sometimes forget that, but we do. Especially when some storm comes, we say, "Lord, why did this happen? Why did this happen?" The Lord knows. We'll understand it someday. Brothers and sisters, the invitation is yours. We ask you to come to Christ, confessing your faults, confessing your sins, repenting of your sins, and be baptized for the remission of sins. And after you've been buried and baptized in baptism, we enter a new life, one that is guided by our Lord, and one in which you be protected by the Lord. I want to be able to hear the Lord say with his own words, "Peace be still." If anyone needs the prayers of the congregation or would like to respond to the invitation in any way, we urge you to come as together we stand and sing.